good to have another opportunity to stand before you and speak a portion of God's Word. Things I want to talk about this morning is things which are not easy, but they're necessary. So we're talking about things that are not easy always, but they're necessary for us to do. You know, for some of us, Christianity could be a challenge, a daily challenge. It's not always easy due to the many demanding things that we have to do in our lives. And of course, we had to deal with the weakness of our flesh to be what we really ought to be in those things. And it's easy to drift away from genuine, sincere dedication sometimes to the Lord. We've got to be on track of those things. And so these things are not always easy, but they're necessary for us. The first one, it's not easy, but it's necessary to accept the blame for our own mistakes. It's human nature to reject any blame a lot of times. We know Eve blamed the serpent. Adam blamed Eve. We've got to be strong enough to accept the blame for our own mistakes. The scripture reading, King David said, "I have sinned." So he was willing to admit those things. Paul confessed his wrong. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Begin at verse 10. It says, "For fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there's any other thing that's contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, put me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." But he was willing to admit his mistakes. It's a good example for us. Some people have a hard time just saying, "I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Please forgive me." They justify their wrongs a lot of times in their own mind, and they'll devote endless hours sometimes to if necessary, to justify their wrongdoing. Pride gets in the way a lot of times. Turn to Obadiah. In verse 3, learn here, "The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, 'Who will bring me down to the ground?'" So don't let pride be in your way. There's an old saying that says confession is good for the soul. Confession brings emotional relief, and spiritual happiness returns when you got things burdening you. The burden, again, is lifted when we say, "I did wrong, and I repent of those things." It's good to know that we have done all we can do regarding making amends with people. And being pleasing to God is what's important. Turn to Proverbs chapter 28. Verse 13, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." The second thing that is not easy, but necessary, is to accept advice sometimes. Everybody wants to give advice, but very few want to accept advice from others. Some advice, of course, is not worth following. Rehoboam is a Bible example of a man who accepted poor advice. Turn to 1 Kings. In chapter 12, we begin at verse 6. "And King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, 'How do you advise me to answer these people?' And they spoke to him, saying, 'If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever.' But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him who stood before him. And he said to them, 'What advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us?' But he accepted the younger men's advice, and he shouldn't have." So again, advice is not always what we should accept, but we need to be willing to do it when we get good advice. All of us at one time or another need good advice. A wise person will always listen, and fools despise advice. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12. We learn in verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Turn to Proverbs chapter 9. We begin at verse 8. "Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." And then turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In verse 5, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Often people ask for advice only to seek approval on what they've already decided. We don't need to be like that. In other words, their mind's already made up and they're looking for sanction for what they've already decided to do. Those who give advice need to remember that advice is only that, it's advice. It's always up to the individual whether he will accept advice or not. One should never have his feelings hurt because someone doesn't follow your advice. It's up to them to follow or not follow. Third thing, which is not easy but necessary, is sometimes we have to start over. Job is an example of one who lost everything. Turn over to Job. Chapter 42. Again, his end was better than his original status. Begin at verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. Verse 16. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. And so Job died old and full of days. But he had to start over. Many setbacks will come during one's lifespan. You may have lost a job. The righteous will never go hungry. Turn over to Psalm. In verse 37. Chapter 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. We may have the death of a close one. God will always provide comfort. Again, these are things we have to start over with sometimes. All those who make a new beginning for the Lord need to be commended. Paul gave up everything for Christ. Turn to Philippians. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Of course, we know there's nothing on earth that compares to the value of Christ. It must be first in our life. Any type of new beginning in the Lord's service is good. And as the old saying says, today is the first day of the rest of our lives. We're ready to make a new beginning. The fourth thing that's not always easy but is necessary is to be unselfish. Man basically is geared to look out for number one, himself. It's a major problem in our society. It's a major cause of troubles in the families. We often ask, why don't more people obey the Lord? Well, the basic root cause is they want to please themselves rather than the Lord. They're selfish. All those who are seeking to please themselves will receive eternal punishment. Turn over to Romans in chapter 2. Verse 8, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also the Greek. Self-seeking. It's a desire to put oneself forward, a partisan spirit. This word is found before New Testament times in some of Aristotle's writings, where it denotes a self-seeking pursuit of political office by unfair means. And so in Aristotle's time, politicking meant self-seeking. Even today, politics, as we know, is full of that sort of thing. I'd make a good president because I can do this, and I'd be a good senator because I can do that. Paul exhorts us to not put self forward or to be selfish. Back over to Philippians, chapter 2. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. James shows us also that when we have selfishness in our hearts, we're earthly, we're sensual, we're devilish. Turn over to James. Chapter 3. Verse 14 starting, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. A fifth thing that is not always easy, but is necessary, is to follow sound reasoning rather than our emotions. We should not let our emotions direct us. Proverbs chapter 16. Verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Back over to Acts chapter 26. Verse 9. Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Don't let our emotions get us. Those who trust in feelings rather than the Bible would do well to consider a story that's told about a lost little boy. It says, I hunted all day for my boy, and about night I found him sitting in the mud by the canal, and he was muddy all over. When I found my boy, he cried, and I cried. I hugged my boy, and he hugged me. I kissed my boy, and he kissed me. I took my boy over to the canal and washed his face, and he was not my boy. He was filled with emotion. People are often blinded by emotions and can't see things as they really are. Sincere people who are desperately seeking the right way may find a way that feels right to them. And they embrace it. It embraces them, and they're overjoyed, and they're happy in this new discovery they have. However, if they somehow manage to bring their emotions under control and carefully examine God's Word, they'd realize that their feelings had deceived them. So we must try to use good wisdom in all things. Action which is on the spur of the moment, without forethought and motivated by emotions, will often lead to sin. Sixth one. What's not easy but is necessary is to profit from our mistakes. Learn from our mistakes. If we don't profit or learn from our mistakes, we're destined to repeat them, is the old saying. Many continue to make the same mistakes over and over. And the important key to being pleasing to the Lord is to recognize you've made a mistake. Profit from it. Do better. When we recognize our weaknesses, we can grow stronger and stronger. Seventh, it's not always easy, but it's necessary to forgive and forget. Forgiveness is not an optional matter, by the way. Turn to Luke chapter 17. In verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. God's forgiveness is also based on our forgiveness of others. Matthew chapter 6. Begin at verse 14. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it's not conditional. It's not always easy. Again, this leaves no choice. If we want to be forgiven, we have to forgive others. And Jesus said that we must do it from the heart. That's in Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. Eighth point. Not always easy, but it's necessary to be kind and to be considerate of others. Kindness is also commanded. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And read verse 32. We're told here, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. It's easy to be kind to those who are kind to us. The challenge is when it's your enemy, those who are not very kind. It's a virtue of Christ's likeness, though. Turn back to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 5 beginning, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So it's a good example to us. Jesus commanded us to be kind even to those who are unthankful for things. Turn over to Luke chapter 6. And down at verse 35. Jesus speaking here says, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Everyone likes to be treated kindly. Remember the golden rule. Kindness is often a forgotten virtue in our families. We can easily fall into the habit of being harsh with our family members. We don't need to do that. We need to be kind to everyone. Proverbs again. Chapter 31 and verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So let's be kind. Last point, not easy to do always, but it's necessary, is to persevere in good works. Be doing good works. Again, we must persevere in our efforts to do good. A good person out of the treasure of his heart will continue to bring forth good things. There was a story, again, regarding a country school whose principal thought it would be good to take up donations for destitute children at Christmas time. And there was not much interest among the students, but there was this one boy who struggled to save a few pennies for the project. And he had saved 15 cents, and he planned to turn it in at the school on the Friday before the Christmas vacation, but a big blizzard came and blanketed the area. So he waded through great distance through deep snow to give his 15 cents to the school principal. The principal found it difficult to control his emotions as he accepted the gift, because this youngster was one of the destitute children listed to receive the donation. So let us always be ready to do good works, as this young boy was in the story, and we never get discouraged, and we'll never give up. That's our lesson for this morning. If there's anyone here who has a need, needs to obey the gospel, or you're going back in the world and need to make amends for those things, and you need prayers for the church here, and come forward as we stand and sing.